Welcome to Luminescence Common Sense Spirituality, a show designed to share spiritual insights with you so that you can comprehend the universe and how it functions. You are about to experience raised consciousness. This is a place where spiritual principles are shared with the goal of assisting you to expand your understanding of both the seen and unseen worlds. Luminescence Common Sense Spirituality helps you to discern the timeless truths handed down from wise sages through the ages from the airy-fairy nonsense that is being taught today. Now, here is your host, Sharon Lynn Wyeth.
Welcome to Luminescence Common Sense Spirituality, the radio show that disseminates esoteric knowledge and common sense spirituality. I'm Sharon Lynn Wyeth, creator of Namology Science, the ability to know all about a person's personality and the soul's purpose from a person's name. Now, the beautiful song or music that you just heard is called Shine, and it's by Dee Lamour. And she just released another song. It's called A Kiss, and you can view and see both of them and the videos that go with them if you go to her website, which is Dee Lamour, which is LEMOR.com. And so we always end our songs or end our show with one of her songs, so you get to hear the shine today at the end of the show. And our topic today is about the soul. Where is our soul located? The difference between soul and spirit, as well as why spiritual paths are so difficult and it appears so easy for some and not for others. How do we hear intuition and develop our inner gifts? What does it mean when someone says to listen to your heart? When someone says, bless you, who's doing the blessing? Does developing our gifts affect our health and how fast we age? And our special guest today is Pat Robertson Rice to discuss these topics with us. Now, Pat Rice offers spiritual counseling services that will allow individuals to obtain the missing piece of information needed to come to terms with any issue being faced, decided on, and therefore, you're able to choose a proper course of action and finally move forward in life. Now, helping others move through the most difficult times in their lives is her spiritual commitment. Help is just a phone call away. She's written Greatness Thrust Upon Us. Now, I heard Pat in 2007 when I was living in China, and I had a session with her. The first part of her reading was phenomenal, and then I started to ask questions. The answers were hard to believe, so I thought that she was great at the first part and that she provided, you know, but those answers at the end were, not so good. Then, and every answer she provided when I listened to the tape again right before I moved back to the States from China had exactly come true the way she said it would. I was amazed that because that's 100% accuracy. Okay, so Pat works differently than anyone else I know. And she's continued to be incredible through all these years since 2007. So welcome to Luminescence, Pat. So glad to have you here.
Thank you, Sharon, for inviting me. And I'd like to thank you, and I'm sure all the listeners would agree with me, how happy we are to have these wonderful people each week. I have thoroughly enjoyed the sessions.
Oh, well, thank you. So our topic today is about the soul, so I want to start with how do you define the soul? What do you think our soul is? What's your understanding?
All right. The soul, to put it very simply, is a spiritual entity, meaning it's separate from the body, it's heavenly created, and it combines with the physical body at the moment of birth, and then it anchors itself into the heart. And so that is a very simple definition of the soul that we can work with.
So where is our soul located? It's anchored in the heart, but is the whole soul contained in the body, or is the body contained in the soul?
Well, the soul is a huge, huge thing. And so we have a holographic representation of the soul that comes into us. It's so large that it would be lots larger than we are. So we get this imprint, totally, you know, a perfect imprint that goes into the heart there.
That's kind of exciting to hear. So what's the difference between soul and spirit?
You know, I'm glad you asked that, and I hope that there are some grandmothers and some young girls who love their nieces and nephews out there, and of course, moms that, you know, have a lot to do. But the soul has a part of it that is referred to as the spirit. And we use that word in our three-dimensional world, in our everyday world. And I know all of you have heard someone say, oh, she had the most school spirit. Or you've seen some little kid on the playground and he would jump on the monkey bars first and then he'd go on the seesaw and then he'd get in the swings. And you might look at somebody else and say, man, that's a high-spirited kid right there. Or my grandmother had something that some of you may remember, and we'd try to get her to go somewhere, and she'd say, no, I'm not going till the spirit moves me. So I'm going to give you an analogy that's very easy to understand about the difference in the soul and the spirit. The soul is the car. So think about a car. It's got wheels, it's got a motor, it's got lights, it's got tires. But if the spirit or the person doesn't get in the car and crank the car, it can't go anywhere. And so the spirit is part of the soul, but it's the part of the soul that likes to go out and smell and taste and feel and touch. So I'm making a plea to all of you who have precious little 6 and 7 year olds or what have you, that you would give your grandchild or your niece or nephew or your child as many opportunities to experience new things, so that if the soul goes to, if the little spirit goes to a tennis match with you, and it smells the popcorn, and the band plays, and everybody cheers, and he decides he likes that. He said, wow, that's fun to be out there with all those people. Then when you say, would you like to play badminton in the backyard, or if you happen to have tennis things, he might say, yes, I would really like to do that. And at that point, you may kinder in him a God-given gift of athletic ability. But if he was never allowed to use his athletic ability, it may be years, like the ninth grade or something, before he ever knew that he was gifted in that way. So allowing them to go to Bible school and allowing them to go to a little summer day camp, or when they get 7 or 8 and they can go away from home, you know, going to a church camp during the summer, all of those things get them out of the realm of just the normal and allow them to experience. So that's the spirit part of the soul. It likes to go out and find new things and maybe get the soul to move into that direction.
I always thought that that's why God created so many beings, so that he could have all the experiences through the beings that are having their experiences. So the experiences, the better.
That's the only reason souls were created. You know, this is a huge universe with unbelievable solar systems and planets and things. And so God can't get to all of them to see how things are going. And that's why he created the souls, to come down and experience for him.
See, and so I always thought a life well lived was one that crammed as many experiences as possible into that life.
You know, Sharon, I think you're right about that, because that makes you very well balanced, and it also makes you have a lot more experiences than the average person that just sits home and watches TV. So naturally, your life will be more fulfilled, or it will be more happy, because you're reaching out and touching as many wonderful things as we have down here, and stay away from the things that aren't so wonderful, you know.
Yeah, that's always the challenge.
You've got to learn that one, too.
Well, I always thought about that as I started teaching school, or I did my student teaching when I was 19. And some of the high schoolers that I was teaching, I had juniors and seniors, and some of them had just turned 19. And I looked at their maturity level versus mine, and I thought, I have just crammed this much more into my life at this time than what they have, because I'm at the end of college where they're at the end of high school. And that's what gave me that idea, because I had started meditating when I was 18. And I thought, the more we cram into our life and the more experiences we can give ourselves, actually the more progress we're going to be making on the path of consciousness.
Well, you know, there's another perk to that, and there, you know, a lot of lessons that we have to experience for our maturation down here. And sometimes you can get a lot done in one life and then not have to do quite as much in the next. So
oh,
a lot
that would
of
be
people
a perk.
are what are called overachievers, you know. The Army has the program, you know, where if you have real hard lifetimes, you know, in when you're in service and you have to go overseas or you have to go on a ship or something like that, and they have R&R, and I think it's every 7 years that you can take a nice vacation when you have gone on six major assignments, you know, that you can have an R&R period. And so the life is kind of like that. If you just take on a lot of challenges and you persevere, I have read many times, and you know people like this, it just seems like everything in their life is fine. They're not struggling the way we are. They don't have a financial problem, or they don't have emotional problems or a marriage that's grown. Everything they touch turns to gold. And the only explanation is exactly what you said, that if you really take on a lot in one lifetime, that in that next lifetime you can rest a little bit and not have so many things to do, which would be
or
like
maybe
an overachiever.
Which may be that you have to do six lifetimes in a row and you only get to rest on the seventh. Who knows?
Well, isn't that how God created the earth? In 6 days and rested on the seventh,
on the
so
seventh.
That pattern may continue, you know.
So how come when somebody starts on their spiritual path, it seems like life gets more difficult instead of it being easier?
Oh, Sharon, let's just talk about souls can be classified, you know, and so we have the beginners. Every writer about the soul calls them different things, okay? But basically, when you're talking about the soul, people will say, well, you know, that's a young soul. They haven't been here but 30 lifetimes. You know, they haven't learned very much, or that's a medium-level soul. But the thing of it is, when most of the people listening to your show, I'm sure, are probably old souls, or they would be medium souls on the seventh level or something like that. But anyway, once you commit and you say, you know what, I'm going to go the spiritual route, I'm going to become the metaphysical person, I'm going to really reach out and try to understand spirit and live the right way. Well, to get out of here, let's say you are an old soul and you have seven lifetimes to get everything done, people don't have any idea what has to be accomplished when you become an old soul to ascend. Now, ascend means you finished your work. You don't ever have to come back again. Okay. So, first of all, in the old soul lifetimes there, you have to finish and rectify and balance every karma that incurred while you have been going. In other words, if there's any karma that hasn't been balanced in another life, during this old soul mission is when you have to take on all of the karma that's left over. And folks, we have 500 to 600 lifetimes. Now, some books say we have 1,000. Some say we have 2,000. Some say we have. I just finally settled on 500 to 600 because that's the one I heard the most often in all of my books on the soul. So think
those
about
those are for the overachievers.
Yeah. And so think about how many mistakes we could have made. Now, I don't want to mislead you. It's not all safe for old soul. Every time you come in, you have karmic lessons that you have to, you know, balance out. And then you have some lessons that you've never had before, some new things. So what I'm trying to say is we're human. And so we're up there planning the life, and the soul, they say, well, now you've got to balance that lifetime where those 300 people died under your watch. And you say, no, now this is the lifetime I will be a rock star. I don't want to have to do any of that mess. Let me do it next life. But when you get to be an old soul, there's not a next life. I mean, you just have to take on, it's some of the hardest karma that we may have kicked under the rug is what I'm trying to say. Then the next thing, Sharon, that you have to do is to completely balance the left and right hemispheres of your brain. Now, that is not an easy task. In other words, when there is a crisis, you have to be able to do everything the way the left brain would want you to do it. Okay, this is what we need to do. Everybody do what you're supposed to do. The end result is very important, and make sure the job gets done. But at the same time, we have a right brain that says, now, wait a minute, we could mediate this. We could use imagination and come up with another way to complete it. We could love this situation in such a way that it doesn't have to be so harsh. Well, they're opposite poles. And so, therefore, we have to be able to get in the middle. They call it androgynous. It means not sexual at all. You can either function as a male or you can function as a female in the way you go about solving problems. That one's hard, too. Now, when we came into this great experiment that we're all in here on planet Earth, we broke apart. The human part of us stayed down here, and the spiritual part, which is called our higher self, stayed up in a higher dimension because it's vibration.
So we want to hear more about this higher dimension and the part that's staying here right after our next break, guys. Stay tuned, and we'll hear more about that along with how do we hear our own intuition. Stay tuned.
Your conscious connection to a more mindful world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
I'm Kathy Williams, host of Sexy Mom Abundant Life radio show on Thursdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. On the show, we explore living abundantly in every area of your life. Ways to let go of limiting patterns and beliefs and to step into the flow of creativity and possibility, knowing you are supported by the universe.
Pat Robertson Rice is a magnificent spiritual counselor. She can help you to recognize your gifts and talents. How do you identify who you are created to be? Are you an artisan, an inventor, a manager, or something else? How do you identify your innate abilities when they are different from your family's, or from our educational system, or from the industries popular in your community? How do you identify talents that are hidden, yet completely innate and natural to you? Contact Pat Robertson Rice at spiritualbeginnings101.com for an illuminating journey about your life path.
These are the sounds of a dinner. A dinner that almost didn't happen. A dinner now served, thanks to people like you. Due to COVID-19, 17 million more Americans may face hunger. Feeding America is helping our neighbors in need. And if you're able, you can too. Donations are being accepted at feedingamerica.org/coronavirus. Brought to you by the Ad Council and Feeding America, 200 Food Bank Strong.
Welcome back to Luminescence, Common Sense Spirituality. I'm your host, Sharon Lynn Wyeth, and our special guest today is Pat Robertson Rice, that you can connect with at Spiritual Beginnings,
and then the numbers 101.com. So, Pat, when we broke last, you were going to tell us about the part of us that stays here on the earth and the higher self that doesn't stay here with us. Would you please continue?
Yes. So when we came into the earth, this earth experiment that we're all in right now, the higher part of us was a vibration that cannot exist in the lower vibration of this planet. And so it stayed above us. And all of our lives, we have been looking for a way to go to the higher part of ourselves. Now, we have guides and angels that are very kind to help us and counsel us and give us information. But the high self has the blueprint. It has the total answer to our life down here on earth. So that's one of the things we're working for in once we get to be old souls, is to get our vibration high enough that the high self can come back and become a part of us. So merging with the high self is one of the things that can happen, of course, during this time. It has to happen before we can ascend, you know, and not have to come back. We're through with the words we're supposed to learn. We've done our karma, you know, we've integrated the left and right hemispheres. And the way that we have to finish up is to do a soul merge and to do a monadic merge. And at that point, then we're through. But I think anybody listening can see that this is a mammoth task, that we have to have everything perfected to get out of here. Well, of course we do, because we're going up to heaven in the beginning of the fifth dimension, and then we progress even further as we get up there. So that's why it seems to be that when you commit to God or you commit to your spiritual life, it seems like it gets worse. It doesn't. It's just that we have to complete all of these forms in order, you know, to get to heaven.
So you mentioned a soul merge and a monadic merge. What's the difference?
Okay. There was a huge soul that is called your oversoul that was created by God. And you came down to, you know, your ideal was the soul would come down to earth and experience for God. Well, the problem is that the planet is huge. I mean, look at all the continents, and how was one little soul supposed to, you know, get a lot done in one lifetime? And so they split the soul, called the oversoul, into 12 different souls. In other words, you, and then you would have 11 brothers and sisters. Now, you don't come to the same place or do the same things. You just simply come down, and somebody might be in South America, and somebody might be in China, and somebody might be in Norway, and somebody might be anywhere. And you don't all come at the same time. And so they got down here and they said, well, we're really not making a lot of progress. So each of those 12 souls split into 12 more. So now we have 144 in the family. But you, Sharon, and I have the original split of the 11 brothers and sisters. So the soul merge is learning all of the words in perfection that the 12 of us have to know. And the monadic merge is merging all 144 souls' intelligences together.
So each one would first merge with the 12, and then when there's only 12 left, then those guys merge. And so when you're merging, when you're merging with your own 12 initially from the 144, that would be a soul merge. And then with the original 12 emerging, that would be a monadic merge.
Yeah. Yes. And that's very confusing to people. I understand that. But I'm just saying that that is the triumphant moment when the monadic merge occurs. And at that point, you just go straight on up into the first level of heaven.
So you mentioned that the fifth dimension was heaven. Is that what we would equate as heaven? Or are there more dimensions past there?
Oh, no. There are lots more. Okay. Most people don't understand that there are three dimensions on Earth. We're referred to as 3D people or a 3D planet. What that means is there are levels of existence here. It would be hard, I think, to plop down on Saturn that's ice or on Mars that's nothing but fire. But here you can plop down on Earth and you've got flowers and trees that are in the second dimension. And you've got, if you dig a little bit, you can find some pretty crystals and some pretty minerals. And then in the third dimension, the third level of existence, we have the animals. And then, of course, man was the last creation. So we have all of those things right here. But when you go off planet, let me use that word, we go into another dimension. And that dimension is the fourth dimension. And this is where the souls go after they die on Earth to wait and to come back, to get another body and come back to Earth. This is where the souls go. And there are levels there. So everybody, let's settle this, goes to heaven. But depending on the level of your soul, you go to a higher, let's say there, I'm making this up, let's say there are 12 levels. Well, the people that are horrible like Hitler are stuck in level one, but the people who are old souls are going to go either to level 11 or 12. And that's the fourth dimension. But when you finally ascend, you go to the fifth dimension, which is, they say it's like our conception of heaven. That's where the fifth dimension is. But as Sharon was saying to me, there are much higher levels. For example, the angels, most books say, are on the seventh level, and the ascended masters can be there or in a higher level, and God just, you know, is way on up there. So there are lots of dimensions, I mean, we've not explored the whole galaxy, the whole heavens. We don't know anything pretty much except what we know from what the biblical stories say and the people that channel in information say is out in outer space.
Right, we really don't know, but maybe the Space Force that was newly created might find some answers for us.
Well, so let's hope they take good notes, okay, because we'd all like to know that. I mean, we haven't been privileged to go out there yet. The further as we go is back up to the fourth dimension, till we can get through with this Earth life down here.
Well, it'll be interesting to see if once they find out, if they share it with the rest of us. So,
well, they don't share a lot of stuff now, you know.
That's what I'm saying. I'll be curious to see if they share it. So how do we hear our intuition? How do we know it's intuition and not just ourselves talking to ourselves type of thing? And then along with that, how do we develop our inner gifts?
All right. Now, both of those questions are two-day workshops, okay? So
okay.
May I answer the first one by just telling someone how to get started, okay? How to
Sounds
really
great.
Get started working with intuition. All right, one thing is that the average person, I don't think, puts enough emphasis on their dreams. And maybe I'll even say daydream. Maybe you're not a good night dreamer, but the next thing you know, you're sitting in the rocking chair, and all of a sudden you come up and you say, oh, my God, I just saw the story about this plane, and it was falling, and I'm blah, 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 you know. So this is the first place I always start with people before we ever try to have the workshop. And I'd say, I want you to pay attention to your dream. Well, I don't remember my dreams. So then I tell them three or four things they can do to remember their dreams. And I said, bring them, because we're going to analyze them. We're going to talk about what they might mean. Then they get all excited, you know, because everybody wants to know about their dreams. And then I tell them why, because that's how we are given information, through the subconscious mind at night. And so once you start receiving that information and cataloging and say, oh, my God, this is what they're trying to tell me. Then another way that people don't give enough credit to, I don't think, is that, you should start paying attention to your gut. Now, the gut in medical terminology is called the second brain. So ching, ching. I mean, obviously, if somebody calls that thing the second brain, it's got some intelligence. And a gut does not have a language. You and I are talking together in the English language, but this gut doesn't speak. So what the gut uses is energy. And so I tell everyone, I said, I want you to be aware of the intuitive urges that you are getting by having your body react in a certain way. So one example of that every person listening has had this happen. There's not anybody without exception, either as a child or a teenager or a grown-up. You were somewhere, maybe on a tour, and they said, we're going to go in this church, and your gut turned upside down, and you felt this terror, or you felt this apprehension. Or maybe you were walking, and you made a left turn, and halfway down the street, your gut started signaling. And obviously, you had gone in the wrong part of town, you know, and your gut saying, get out of here, this isn't going to be safe. Everybody has had that feeling. But there are other feelings that I think most of you can identify with. People will say, you know, I sat on that airplane beside that person I'd never seen before, and before that three-hour trip was over, I had told them my deepest, darkest secrets about wanting to get out of my marriage. Well, what happens when two people get together is if your heart opens up because the vibration of the person sitting beside you is the same and your body reacts, then that's your signal that it's safe. And the next thing you know, you have blabbed all your stuff to that person because they're never going to harm you with it. You're on the same vibration. You're good people, and it's all right to let off steam, you know. Some of you may have experienced goosebumps. Now, goosebumps can mean the body can be saying, look, I'm cold, put some more clothes on. But right. Lots of times, goosebumps, when you hear beautiful music, I don't know if any of you have ever been to a cantata or to some Christmas music or something at church, and when they sing or they hit some of those notes, some of you may get goosebumps in your body. And what that is indicating to you, this is a very high spiritual experience. The spirit and the soul love sound. They love beautiful music and they love beautiful voices and things. And so you're just engaging in the spiritual experience. Sharon, can you think of another body language there connected to signals?
Well, it's interesting when you're saying that, because when I was listening to you, I was thinking how J-Lo on World of Dance always says that when certain people dance, she gets the goosebumplies.
Oh, yeah. Dancing is a perfect art form, and we don't see art very often, you know, perfection. We don't see a lot of perfection down here. And so that grace and that beauty, you know, when some of these people dance together is another way of your body saying it's a soulful experience. The soul loves to dance. It likes music. It likes dance. It likes joy, tell you the truth. And so I agree with you that that would be another form. But we've all been scared at night, and you know that thing goes up the back, goes right straight up your back. This, you just sit up in bed and you say, oh my God. You know, when there's some noise that's not a normal noise around your house. And so no one will miss your soul, I mean, your gut saying, pay attention, wake up, something just happened. Your baby fell out of the bed, or, you know, whatever it is that the soul is warning you about, or the gut, excuse me, through this second brain. So that's... excuse me, Sharon, did you want to add something to that?
Well, I was just thinking about the time when I called you shortly after I had heard this huge boom, I had flown out of my chair. And what it turned out was that one of the trees, I live in the middle of a forest, lightning had hit one of the trees, and they're really, really tall, and it had come and crashed into my rooftop right over where I was sitting. And when I heard that boom, it was actually the lightning hitting the tree before I heard the boom of the crash on the tree on my roof. And I remember calling you and talking about that with you afterwards. I never thought I could move that fast, how fast I jumped.
Yes, yes. And you know, your gut reacts to things more quickly than you do, you know. And that was a definite form of, oh, my God, pay attention to what's just happened. You know? And, of course, spirit knows things to happen before we do. So that would be another good example of that. Now, intuition occurs, you know, in different ways. We have some people, as you well know, who see. Oh, my God. I mean, you can sit down with a psychic and they'll say, well, now let me tell you about this in about 6 months, so and so and so. Now, most of us don't have that gift, but a lot of us will have one of the clairs. And the clairs are the seeing and the feeling and the hearing and the knowing. And those are the ones that we try to work with because everybody has a little bit of one of those gifts. And then
now I call those clairs. I call it like clairvoyance and clairaudience,
yep.
And that's what you're talking about. I call
that
the Clair Sisters, and they've the Clair Sisters have come to visit you. That's what I always said, that one of them came or two of them came, but they're all the Clair Sisters. And we'll talk more about these clairvoyance and clairaudience and clairsentient and all the Clairs that come in that family right after we take our next break. So stay tuned. We will be right back.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. OM Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of OM Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Mark Twain said the two most important days in your life are the day you were born and the day you find out why. The why is hidden in your name. Sharon Lynn Wyeth has created a scientific way of deciphering your name to reveal your contract for this lifetime. And your name even specifies the seven areas that are subsets of your soul's overall goal. Your name identifies who you are to both yourself and others. What does your name say about you? Contact Sharon Lynn Wyeth at info@knowthename.com for your stunning name review.
The United States has the highest rate of incarceration in the world. At the Equal Justice Initiative, we believe mass incarceration has to end. There is this presumption of dangerousness and guilt that gets assigned to Black and brown people. We have to confront our history of racial injustice and commit to a new era of truth. There's something better waiting for us, something that feels more like freedom. Truth can inspire change. Please learn more at EJI.org.
Welcome back to Luminescence, Common Sense Spirituality. I'm your host, Sharon Lynn Wyeth. Our special guest today is Pat Robertson Rice. Before the break, we were talking about the Clair family, what I call the Clair Sisters, the clairvoyance, clairsentience, clair, all of that. So, Pat, please continue with what you were going to say.
Okay. Well, this is a starting point to talk about the four clairs, you know, the four most common ones. But I'd like to say one thing, if I could, Sharon, first.
Sure.
Most people think of a gift and they say, well, it's something you don't have to work for, if you're thinking about what's the definition of a gift, or it's something somebody gives you. Well, what you need to understand is that if you are an old soul, more than likely you're here on a mission, and more than likely you are here with a special thing that, you know, God asks you to do to help the planet. So Sharon is here to spread the teaching. I'm here to spread the counseling and so forth and so on. But I want to stress to you that this is not something like the Pillsbury Doughboy, that the soul punches you and says, okay, you go down there and have clairvoyance. The reason that you are able to develop a high level in clairvoyance or clairsentience or clairaudience is because in many of your past lives, this is what you did. Lifetime after lifetime, you've come in here to be a healer, or lifetime after lifetime after lifetime, you've come in here to be a teacher, or lifetime after lifetime, you've come in here in the area of music, and so that's why you can sit down at the piano at 3 and play it like Mozart. So it's not a gift in the sense that this is the one lifetime you're going to ever have it. Most of us become good at this because it's something we have done in many lifetimes. Now, the sisters of the clairs, these are the most common ways that people develop their intuition. Now, I will tell you quite frankly, you many times will have to take some classes in these things in the early days, and then all of a sudden when you're in that flow in the room and everybody's working, there's a lot of energy, you're concentrating on what this ring says, like psychometry that you're holding in your hand, and you just pop open. It's just all of a sudden you just pop open, and from that point on you just grow and grow. So it's good to go and take some basic classes in something that you feel like you're good in. But clairvoyance is the one that we see in movies all the time. So here's a lady and she's doing tarot readings. You know, somebody in a show will go in for that. Or there's a lady who's doing crystal ball, or there's a lady who's just doing a psychic reading, you know, or she may ask for your hand to do hand reading for you. But these are the ones we see more often on television. I think we're just a little more available, you know, in our minds about what this might look like when somebody can see things in the future, you know. Now, the clairaudience, some of our wonderful shows have been where people can hear voices from the other side. And Montel Williams used to have Sylvia Brown on there all the time, and I was always amazed. Now, she has passed on, but back in the 70s and 80s, she was amazing with how she could contact someone on the other side. And we're speaking of clairaudience, hearing. Think about the word auditorium. You go there to hear. And so this was hearing the voices. I have clients, and I'll be talking about this, and I'll say, now, do you hear the voices like a download in your head like you're on a computer, or do you hear them outside your head? And they'll say, no, I hear them very clearly outside my head talking to me like I'm talking to you. I don't often find people. Sharon, how do you hear? Do you hear like a computer and it's downloaded, or do you hear the voices?
I hear it as I'm speaking it. I mean, okay. I literally just give over to the, you know, when I'm doing a spiritual reading. I used to hear it and then repeat what I heard, but I've been doing it so long that now it's just like, it's almost seamless.
Now, does your audience know about the Light Keepers?
No, but I do channel, or what they call channeling. I call it being a conduit.
Well, let me tell you, that's quite an experience. And if you've never had a session with her, with the Lightkeepers, put that down as something you have on your bucket list, okay? And if not sooner. But anyway, most people just ask for this information and it just is sort of downloaded into their head. But there are people that, like Sharon, that can just put themselves out of the picture and the people will speak what they want to say. It's called channeling in the room. And the clairsentience is what we were just talking about with your gut. You just get a feeling. Now, there's another word you use with clairsentience, and that is hunch. Well, every detective show that you see, you know, they'll be examining the clues and the guy will say, I got a hunch the butler did it, or I got a hunch the wife's more involved in this,
right.
You know, or I got a hunch that neighborhood guy was coming over here more than the wife said, you know. And the best psychic people, sometimes you'd be surprised. It's not necessarily the people that are doing this for a living. I have read many times that salesmen would never classify themselves as psychic, but they know when the person walks in and says they want, so they know if they're going to make a sale. So they talk about police work, you know, these people being hypersensitive and seeing these clues and, you know, coming up with the concept of who really did it, and also people who sell. And sell well and make a lot of money at it. They also have many times this ability to just feel whether this is going right. And if it's not, they'll say, well, maybe you'd like to come back tomorrow, and they go on to somebody else.
That is an inner gift. Pat, I want to stop you just for a moment because
sure.
of our time, and we have had a caller that has been waiting patiently for her answer.
So
I would love to put her on. Oh, no, you're fabulous. And I didn't want to stop you. You're giving fabulous information. So, Amy, welcome to Luminescence Common Sense Spirituality. What is your question for Pat, please?
Oh, you know, this whole show.
Hi, Amy.
Hi, Pat. Hi, Sharon. This whole show has been about me, I swear. I am just a lost soul in this lifetime. I don't know what to do with Amy. I'm just so frustrated.
Amy, we're having a hard time. Your words are blending.
Okay.
I'm going to let Sharon interpret for me, and she can tell me what you said, okay?
Can you hear me better?
I can hear you just fine, Amy.
Better.
So Amy wants to know that she's frustrated. So if you're not hearing clearly what the soul wants and you start feeling frustrated because you could consider yourself out of alignment, even though I don't think that's possible, what do you do on that behalf? I think that's what's Amy's question.
Okay. How old are you, Amy?
I'm 58 and a half.
Ooh, honey, if I was that age, I would go back and do things a little differently there. But anyway, at 58, you're a seeker, okay? And you have been looking and looking and looking. Are you looking for what you need to do as a mission? Is that are you not finding fulfillment? Is that the thing? You just feel like you're not doing what God sent you here to do or your soul is asking you to do? Or
yeah.
or you just don't
yeah.
know why you keep repeating patterns? I mean, what's your hang up there?
I just feel like all my life I've always wanted to do radio shows and metaphysics and things like that. And I, you know, I've done massage work, but it's just such a weird job anymore. And I love food, and I just feel like nothing. I just feel so blah. And I'm not that way. I just feel
okay.
I don't know what to do.
Okay, you're where everybody gets at a certain time, you know. And so, what I would suggest for you to do is to call Sharon and do a Lightkeeper thing with her, or I would suggest that you might like to call me and do a soul purpose chart and find out what these patterns are that are blocking you or what the soul has planned that it would like for you to do for the world. Sharon, what would you suggest?
I would suggest she calls you. And Amy, I will put you in touch with Pat after the show. Okay?
Great. Thanks. The show's really
Amy,
lovely.
Listen, Amy, all I was trying to say was when you get to the point that you're spinning in circles, then you need to find somebody who can guide you in step 1, 2, 3, 4, and then you'll be happy.
Great. Well, thank you both. The show's just lovely. I'm glad I'm listening.
Thank you, Amy. Thanks for calling
thank
in.
You, Amy.
So, Pat, again, you know, the end of the show, and I always have so many more questions. Can I get a yes or no answer? Does developing our gifts affect our health and how fast we age?
Oh, my Lord, yes, because it raises your vibration. And the higher your vibration, the higher your immune system. And the more you don't have to fight adversity will take stress out, and you age well.
Isn't that good news, everybody?
Was,
it makes it all worthwhile.
That wasn't a yes or no. Yes, Sharon, it greatly affects you. I'm sorry.
No, you're great. You can get a hold of Pat through spiritualbeginnings101.com. Again, you know that I always put it on my website on knowthename.com/scheduling, and you just come to the 18th of February, and all of Pat's information is almost there. We are now closing down. Pat, I so want to thank you for joining us.
And
we know
you.
Everyone. Oh, my pleasure. And we know, everyone, that we always end with this wonderful song by Dee Lamour. It's, if you want to go to her website and hear her new song, it is always DLEMOR.com. She now has put out another song for all of us to enjoy on her website if you want to visit that. But I love closing with her permission, her song, "The You Shine, The Shine," because we all need to shine, and we all are capable of shining when we follow our heart and do what's right for us. All right, this is Sharon Lynn Wyeth signing off.
Gazing in the mirror, an image of an angel smiling back at her. No wounds or imperfections, just beauty and its glow. Her laughter and her heart, a reflection of her soul. And I want to shine like the sun and smile to stop the rain. And I want to dance with the wind and believe in dreams again. Of her, the light slightly dimmed, her reflection unseen, and all